This week, 200 world leaders are meeting in Madrid to track their progress towards the 2015 Paris Agreement target. These targets, however, are about to expire. 2020 will see new targets made and possibly a beacon of hope for our future. I spoke with Oxfam Australia's climate change advisor, Simon Bradshaw, and asked him if countries are set to meet current Paris Agreement targets.
We're certainly not on track, no. But then there's the larger commitments under Paris, and the one we should always keep in mind, which is that we need to play our part in limiting warming to 1.5 degrees. That's a matter of survival for many communities around the world. And to do that, we need to greatly increase the ambition and pace of those emissions reductions beyond that existing commitment. That applies to all countries. And in fact, a recent report from the UN Environment Programme showed we need to collectively increase that pace of action by about fivefold. But certainly for Australia, where emissions are still rising and we're still opening new coal mines, we've got a long way to go to be meeting our commitments under Paris.
What do you think the 2020 targets will need to include going forward?
The bottom line is we need to reach zero emissions as soon as possible and well before mid-century, which means for Australia and all countries, roughly halving our emissions by 2030 over the next decade, which is a mammoth task, but there are certainly no economic or technical barriers to doing that. It's merely a matter of political leadership and policy certainty, and everything can flow from that.
And we are feeling the consequences here in Australia by being a bit idle on these issues from the past few decades. So people in Australia have lost their homes due to bushfires, which have been connected to climate change. How large is the impact of climate change on the numbers of people who are displaced around the world?
Well, we've just released some new research on this immediately ahead of COP25 because I think it's an important way of understanding the human cost and the grave injustice of the climate crisis. We've shown that more than 20 million people a year are displaced within their countries by various extreme weather disasters, all events which are being made more dangerous by the climate crisis in various ways. Of course, behind those numbers are many, many stories of loss, of challenge, and I think it's important that we you know, think about the human cost of behind those numbers. And in Australia, I mean, we've in the midst of a terrifying bushfire season now affecting almost every state. And that shows that even in one of the world's wealthiest, most advanced countries, we're seeing very real, very immediate impacts from the climate crisis. There's very robust science showing how climate change is making bushfire seasons more dangerous, longer, reducing opportunities for hazard reduction burns and so forth. And I think we can only hope that through this very difficult experience, we will, and I think we are seeing and have been seeing more and more over a number of years now, stronger expectations and demands of our government and of everyone to be rising to this challenge.
It's an interesting point that you raise, because a lot of the time it is the poorer nations who feel the effects of climate change. So what is the responsibility of Australia and other richer nations to help these other poorer nations?
I think, as you mentioned, quite rightly, it's typically poor communities in developing countries who feel the impact of climate first and hardest. It's also the same communities who've contributed the very least to the causes of climate change, at the very least carbon emissions that they're responsible for. There is actually another element here which is going to be talked about a lot in Madrid over the next 2 weeks, and that's how to support communities who are pushed beyond their ability to adapt, who may be displaced from their home or otherwise face loss and damage, as it's termed in climate talks, and that sets up an additional responsibility for a country like Australia to, as well as be supporting developing countries with building clean economies, with adapting to the impacts that they're increasingly facing, also then how we help support communities who face losses in the face of the climate crisis. Nothing there is beyond what is possible. I think one of the frustrations in Australia is we're blessed with such abundant renewable energy resources, such great expertise. A lot of business is just raring to go, but we're not seeing the leadership needed to unleash that potential. And of course, we do have financial resources to be providing that sort of assistance where it's really needed in our region and beyond.